You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, June 19th, episode 3977, brought to you today, as always, on Fridays by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Today, we're going to get caught up with Scott Jagow, who is the past host of the HRN podcast, Around the Track. We're doing him as part of the Where Are They Now series, and he's a racing guru, and he's been on radio for a long time, and he's just a friend of ours, and we love talking to him. So we're going to get caught up with him. Plus, we have a history segment for you today. We have some really bad ads, all of that coming up on today's show. We do not have a post show for you today because Jamie and I both have things we have to get to today, so I apologize for that. And I did want to do a disclaimer here, Jamie, at the very beginning. Because we discovered that there was an issue with SpeakPipe, which is our voicemail service. And for some reason, there was something broke, and now we got it fixed and everything. And there was a whole bunch of voicemails dating back 6 months. That we had not seen, which includes some really bad ads. So if you didn't hear your voicemail ad on the air, it wasn't our fault, but we're going to play.
It was our fault.
We should have fixed it. Definitely... We didn't know we had a problem, and then we had to fix the problem. So I have four or five today that our job's going to be easy and really bad ads because we're just going to let the listeners do all the work.
We're going to play 6 months worth of voicemails for you.
So when you hear yours and say, I did that a long time ago. That's why. That's why. And there were a couple.
So us. Like, I love it. Hey, remember that time we told you to call that number?
Yeah.
That number didn't work, but they didn't tell us that it didn't work. So, like, we just happened to go in and be like, we haven't got any messages from that. Oh, God. Yes, we did.
So,
sorry.
Laurie is one in particular that had submitted one. The audio was bad on it. I couldn't play it because I really only understood about every other word. So, Laurie, we're not ignoring you either. We're just apologize for the speak pipe issue. It should be up and working now. So I wanted to do that disclaimer before we went to Daily Winnie's. So don't be mad at us. We didn't know.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
We have a bunch of birthdays today. Sophie is 13. Happy birthday to Sophie. Peggy R., Carolyn O., Bex H., Corinna M., and Tammy Sarantz, our friend. And also, Jamie and I opened up the show notes this morning. They're under the Daily Winnies. They're in all caps. It says, me, Ashley. And I have the day off. Love you both. Bye. And there's a picture of Ashley with a glass of wine toasting us. So
just so you guys know, nobody can access these show notes except for Glenn and I. And apparently Ashley. She has the password. And she just logged in and like posted this giant picture of herself. It's like, it's my birthday.
I did Happy see birthday, it was her Ashley. Birthday, but she wanted to make sure we didn't miss it. That's for sure. It made me laugh this morning when I opened it up. So have a great weekend, Ashley. I know you have the weekend off. Have fun.
So sometimes, you know, we get into very deep discussions on very important things. And, you know, we get really heartfelt and deep. And like, I never hear anything from any of you. Like, never. You just, it's like radio silence. Feedback is nice, people. Sometimes, just, even if you don't like it, just tell me. Because sometimes we say things and we get no feedback. And then there's other times where we say the dumbest things. And
like the entire Wednesday
amount
show.
Of messages. The amount of messages we get about nonsense is crazy. Listen, I'm going to address some of them right now. Scott, I did not
this
say.
This was all from Wednesday's show,
Subway
too, everybody.
Keeps. Yoga mat chemicals in their bread. And that I know that they're far from the only ones, but I don't expect to eat other types of bread like at McDonald's and not have yogurt my chemicals. But when I go to freaking Subway, I don't want crap in my food. Yes, they got rid of it 10 years ago, but Glenn said he has always loved Subway, which means he has eaten a lot of yoga mats. So that's where I was going with that. I don't feel I should have to defend myself, but I do. Okay, next thing to go over was, let's see, what else was there? Ulcer med. I'll get to her. Okay. Ulcer medication. I was like, NexGard sounds like an ulcer medication. Apparently, it's by the same company. So I was so right. I didn't even
and
mean
she
to.
Works there.
And then.
And this, yeah, and our listener works at the company. And I went, we have listeners that are involved in everything we talk about one way or another.
Well, and then again, I did not really need to know the sarcastic reason that Rose and Cravens are Rose and Cravens, that's like a bar, are different. But then the main one I wanted to get to was we talked about Philadelphia and the fans in Philadelphia and how, like, I was an employee for the Atlanta Braves, and whenever the Phillies came to town, we just knew we were going to have a bunch of Phillies fans who were like terrible and obnoxious, and you know who you are. And apparently Alex knows who she is because Alex posted, "You all hate us and we don't care." Signed, a Philly fan.
See, that is true. Phillies and Eagles fans, they don't care if you hate them.
They don't care.
No.
They go out of their way. I remember I had a friend, somebody I worked with that played for the Braves, but before that had pitched for the Phillies. And he was like, "It doesn't matter what I do. They boo me." Just, you can strike somebody out and somebody's going to boo you.
I think so, you know that you. Going into Philadelphia, though. You know what you're getting into because it's not a secret.
Again, when you hear from a player who's like, "I pitch a great game and they pull me out and I get booed." Cool. No, I'm not telling you who that is, Alex. Not going to talk about it.
For some reason, everything we talked about on Wednesday's show hit a chord with somebody. So it was like,
you know what? We can't make everybody mad all the time, but we can make everybody mad some of the time.
Hey, you know how we always talk about there's all these deadly things in Florida? I got a new one. Apparently, again, brought in through the exotic pet trade, and it weren't here natively, something called the spectacled caiman. It's a small crocodile-like species, originally introduced from Africa, of course, through the exotic pet trade. They would bring them in, then people decide they didn't want them anymore, and they'd let them loose in the Everglades.
Is this like the stories that I do in Weird News, where somebody walks through the metal detector with a crocodile
taped to their
thigh?
That story. So they did a comprehensive study by the University of Florida of the Everglades and discovered that there are a lot more of these than they thought. And what the problem is these are an invasive species. There's a lot of them, just like why we have enormous snakes in the Everglades that were never there before. They grow to 4 or 5 feet, and caimans tend to be more high-strung, nervous, and aggressive when confronted than the American alligator. So that's cool. A problem. So we've got all of these little, and they look mean. You look at an alligator, and you know, I've been 2 feet from alligators. There's a place here where you can go and walk right by the alligators. And they don't seem to care. They just lay there. But I'll tell you what, crocodiles look much different. And when you see these things, pictures of these little spectacled caimans, they look like tiny, mean crocodiles. They just look mean.
What do they get? The spectacled caiman? I need to Google
that. And you'll see they look just mean. And they're smaller. They're 4 to 5 feet. And they said they don't.
Oh, God.
Aren't they? Don't they look like something out of prehistoric times?
He wants to kill me, and it's a photo.
Yes, I'm telling you what. So anyway, we got a new thing in Florida that'll kill you, apparently. Now,
that sounds like a great idea. Yeah. I want that as a pet.
Apparently, a lot of people decided they didn't want it as a pet and left them loose in the Everglades. The poor Everglades get more invasive species. You know, we have... we have all of those enormous snakes in the Everglades, and they have snake hunting is kind of free game in the Everglades because of that. Now we're going to have spectacled caiman hunts in the Everglades.
I mean, the best thing to do is just to put all the spectacled caimans in that forest with the boas.
Yeah.
And then they'll eat each other. Like the snakes will eat the alligator's eggs and the alligators will eat the snakes. Like it's.
Or the other solution is fence in the entire Everglades, all, 100,000 square miles of it, and just let them have it out. Just forget
That's
the Everglades. Let them let it go back to Jurassic Park.
No.
Let them have it.
No.
Let them just go after each other.
Don't do that. But I really think it's a good idea. Somebody should write that down.
All right. Why don't we talk about Kentucky Performance Products, and then we'll go to our guest.
All right. Well, if your horse is suffering from digestive tract issues such as diarrhea, colic, or hindgut imbalances, or do they need a high-grain diet? Are they under stress? Nalox Advanced can help. Nalox Advanced is a scientifically formulated blend of ingredients that work synergistically to maintain a healthy stomach, small intestine, and hindgut. It contains long-acting gastric buffers and coating agents to maintain normal stomach pH. It provides an effective probiotic to support complete digestion of starch and sugars in the foregut, helping maintain a healthy hindgut. And it supplies broad-spectrum prebiotics to sustain a healthy balance of beneficial microbes and well-balanced microbiome. For more information, visit kppusa.com.
Join us as we chat with past guests to find out, where are they now?
Well, coming up right now, we have a guest on that I'm so happy to have on. You knew him because he was the host of a show we had here on the Horse Radio Network called Around the Track. He was formerly the editor over at the Pollock Report. Scott Jagow is joining us, and we're going to find out what he's up to.
Hey, guys. It's so great to hear your voices again. I appreciate you connecting with me.
It's great to hear yours. You always had the best radio voice, and I was always very jealous of that. So, and you still do. So what the heck? Where are you at? What are you doing with your life?
Well, it's interesting, the timing of you reaching out to me, because about 2.5 months ago, I moved to Saratoga Springs, New York.
Oh, wow.
I live in Saratoga, which I would consider the horse racing mecca of the United States. I was in St. Louis previously. I had been there for several years. I was the Pollock Report situation. I lost that gig because of the pandemic. So, financially, the Pollock Report couldn't keep me on. I ended up going back into my old career, which is radio. And so I worked for 4 years on KMOX in St. Louis, which is one of the biggest, oldest news sports stations in the country. They just turned 100 years old. Wow. So I had some shows on that station in Morning Drive, and they just turned 100, I think I just said. But there came a time when the corporate ownership was starting to grind people down, and anyway, for various reasons, I decided I couldn't stay there. And I just thought, where can I go that I will love to be? And I'm originally from upstate New York, or Western New York, technically Buffalo. And of course, I love racing. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to move to Saratoga and see what happens. And that's what I did.
That's so exciting. That's so cool. Like, I'll just like point to the map and be like, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? That's fantastic. Again, I say this thing, Scott, on the show all the time, that, and Glenn knows what it's going to be, but we are like marching towards death, and we should live the life that we want to live. And you are the perfect example of that. Fantastic.
Yeah. And I also don't mind cold weather. So, and my girlfriend also doesn't mind cold weather. So I took her up here in February as a scouting trip, and she absolutely loved it. She used to live in the Netherlands and Switzerland. So
it's just fine like being
her.
Home.
She wants to go farther north, the better for her. So.
To be fair, I think that the move from Buffalo to Saratoga is like most people moving, from Maine to Florida.
Like, well, no, not
Buffalo
quite.
Is amazing weather. I mean, so unique. I've been there once, and I think it was like July, and it was like snow sludge. Like, it was awful. So it's great.
So yeah, I mean, Saratoga does get quite a bit of snow, but not Buffalo snow.
Buffalo snow is just different snow. Yeah. It seems.
I didn't know you had been in radio before the Pollock Report. You and Jamie have a lot in common that way.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so you said it was a news and sports station, or was like just a regular like news station with like, you know, the talk shows during the day and you had the morning drive, or were you a news? Did you toss it to news, or did you do the news, or did you do a sports segment? What'd you do?
All of that. Yeah, I did. I did news. I did morning drive. I hosted morning drive with another anchor who, it was kind of a rotating thing, but it was the biggest ratings of any station in St. Louis for morning drive. And, you know, I was proud of that. And people tuned in for that. KMOX is mainly known as being the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. And names that have come out of there that have, you know, are famous: Jack Buck, Bob Costas. There's quite a few other people that have gone through KMOX on the way to national and international fame. So there's a lot of tradition history around the station. But yeah, I hosted a Sunday morning show also that was my favorite. I created it myself, basically. I was able to do things that I wanted to do. So I had a segment called Three Good Things, and I did a weekly radio essay in a positive light, but it could be anything that inspired me that week. And I turned it into an essay, and it actually won a big award for writing, which I was really proud of. And then I also did a segment called Roaming St. Louis, where I would just go to one place every week and interview the owner and learn about their establishment, restaurant, museum, whatever. So that was a really popular as well.
So you must have a talent to be able to walk up to a complete stranger and just start a complete conversation with them. And I mean, not small talk, like get right into it and have no like anxiety about it at all. You just walk right up and talk.
Oh yeah. That's one of my skills for sure. In fact, everybody that knows me talks about that skill. Like I can talk to anyone. And I have, you know, I'm proud of that as well, because it is a skill. And in fact, when I did Roaming St. Louis, I didn't write down one question for 4 years ever. Oh. And it's just natural curiosity. It just, you ask the first question, well, how did you start your business? And then, you know, you just have all these follow-up questions that I don't need to write down, but I just enjoy the interaction with these people because everyone has a story. So I never ran out of places. I think I went to more than 150 places in St. Louis. And at first, people were very skeptical of the idea that I could go. Are you going to run out of places to go? No, because everyone has a story, and you find a business, a dog grooming place. How did they get started? What's their passion about dogs? You know, stuff like that. It's easy. It's really the easiest job.
Scott, that reminds me of something. When I got hired to this job, it was a daily podcast about horses. And my husband was like, what are you going to talk about after 2 weeks? And like, here we are almost 4,000 episodes later. I've just left to be right. So, but that's definitely great. Part of it. And I think part of the skill set in talking to people and having a show like you did is the ability to ask a question is to actually listen to the answer and come up with a follow-up, because you have to listen. But I do take a lot of notes, so you got me there.
Well, that's okay. Well, when I hosted talk shows years ago, I used to write questions down and take notes, but then I would never use them. But the act of writing them down and researching got it all into my brain. So it became more natural. I didn't ever look at them unless I was like, what could possibly be my next question? And then I looked down at my pad. But it's a good exercise, whether you actually look at them or not. And it is also the listening thing. I'm glad you mentioned that is one of my, I don't know if I want to say pet peeves, but so many people don't listen, don't know how to listen. listening is such a skill. Letting people talk, tell their story. You get so much from shutting up.
You know, it's funny.
Same with arguments too.
It's funny you said what you did earlier, because I did a talk at a podcast thing the other night, and one of them asked what makes a good host, and I said curiosity. And so when you said that, it's like that's what makes a good host right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I have an idea, and let's put pen to paper here and take real notes. I think that the coolest thing you could do in Saratoga right now is you go get a sponsor, which there's going to be plenty of them out there in Saratoga. And I think you should just do a podcast with these type of interviews to all the people in Saratoga. Find a trainer, a jockey, an exercise rider, a guy selling beer at the track. You know, you could do an entire podcast on just that. Exactly what you talked about.
I've thought about this. I've been thinking about this. So I'm glad you mentioned it. It is one of the things that I have been doing here. And the racing season is getting started July 3rd. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe that is something I can, you know, quickly launch. I was here for the Belmont, which was really cool. It was the third year the Belmont has been in Saratoga. It's going back to Belmont Park next year forever, I assume, because they've been renovating Belmont Park. But that's a big event here. I mean, it was so cool because Cherie DeVoe won the Derby with Golden Tempo, and then she comes to her hometown of Saratoga Springs and wins the Belmont. You couldn't get a better story. That horse was really impressive, and it shows you, you know, a lot of people wanted him to run in the Preakness and go for the Triple Crown. These days, people opt out of it, the health of the horse, other considerations. But in the time between the Derby and the Belmont, that horse really improved. And that's what you look for as a trainer. You want your horse to improve over time. And she said the horse showed signs of improving. And then, because everybody was saying, no, the pace won't be fast enough for Golden Tempo's late closing kick. Well, a good horse can overcome that. Obviously, he did. But the second thing I wanted to mention is that this week it's been very heavy hearts here in Saratoga over the.
Oh man, I know. I'm so sorry.
It's 17 horses, and I occasionally go to the harness track. I've gotten to know some of the people. In fact, Cherie's brother, Jimmy DeVoe, is a harness driver there, and so everyone here in the horse racing community has heavy hearts. And it's very upsetting what happened, the barn fire and 17 horses dying. And, you know, the outside world is really, you know, when these things happen, the outside world really comes at racing. And this has nothing to do with racing.
It happens.
Did they come up with a reason?
Yeah.
Did they find out?
It's usually electrical, right? I mean, isn't it always usually electrical some way?
Yeah, I think they're still investigating because it's very mysterious. It happened at 2:30 in the morning. I mean, did somebody throw a lit cigarette? I don't know. It's just terrible how fast that thing engulfed them. If you've seen the video, engulfed that barn, and it's just a tragedy. And on Saturday, they're going back to racing on Saturday. I know they're doing some kind of everyone wear white, and they're efforts around town to raise money. In fact, Cherie is doing something herself to raise money for the trainers and the owners of those horses.
Man, that was just a couple people just wiped out their string. So it's very sad. And thank you for mentioning that and bringing it up. But this is the stuff we want to hear from you about. Come on, let's go get the podcast going. I know somebody, Glenn, who can help you get it going. Like, he does what he does. So I assume
that radio is done. You're not looking for a radio gig up there. I think radio is pretty much done anyway. But
not necessarily. I love radio, and that's always been my, you know, before I worked at the Pollock Report, I was on national radio. I was the host of Marketplace on NPR from Los Angeles. Okay. And before that, I was in local radio in Charlotte on NPR. And before that, I was in commercial radio and another part of North Carolina. So it's been my career.
I got to jump in here because I need to hear your NPR voice, please.
Actually, this is pretty much it.
Oh, no. you're like the most peppy NPR guy in the history of NPR.
Maybe. Yeah, I know. That's funny. Everybody, you know, people always ask about that. And I always tell people it took me a long time to sound like myself. That's one thing that people in radio always, when they get started in their career, they're always trying to sound like a broadcaster, whether it's I'm trying to sound like an NPR broadcaster or a commercial broadcaster. And they're always deepening their voice or changing their inflections. And it doesn't sound right. To me, what sounds right is when you can speak in your natural voice. And it's so hard to do that when you start out because you think you have to do A, B, and C to sound like a broadcaster. And what I learned over time, and I spent a lot of time on it, I really did. I had a coach, a lot of things that I did. And I got to a point where I was like, you know what? You sound really good and you sound like yourself. So that's where I am.
Plus you have program directors telling you what you should sound like too. I mean,
we love them. They're so fun.
Yeah.
I will say I there is some effort that you put in and I put in both to sound like ourselves. And I think the biggest one for probably both of us for opposite reasons is trying to phase out the accent of the place that we are from, because I am from Georgia and you are from Buffalo, New York. Like, how many times did you, like, I had a program director pull me into a room and he was like, pronounce this word. And he wrote this word down and the word was especially. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you keep saying especially. And I was like, cause that's the way my mother says it. So like, I always had to work on like these little Southern twang things that would pop out when I'm, you know, what's the, in Anchorman, the Christina Applegate character is like, I speak with non-regional diction.
Yeah, that's funny. It was part of my early career, probably, because I went from having a Western New York accent to moving to North Carolina, where I went to college, to I ended up having a Southern accent. I've heard tapes of myself. By the way, let me just tell you, this is hilarious that I mentioned this. While I was at KMOX and I was doing my Three Good Things segment, one day I decided to go into this box of cassettes that I had and I found an unlabeled tape and I put it in the cassette player and lo and behold, my 9-year-old voice came on doing a radio news broadcast.
No way.
I turned it into a segment. It's actually, if you Google it, you can find it. It's incredible, or I'll send it to you guys.
Please.
And my sister was in it, and she was hilarious. She was 7 years old. So I figured out what I was talking about when this tape was made. I was asking her questions about Russia invading Afghanistan in 1979-80 and the Winter Olympics that were just about to happen Lake Placid, New York.
And how old was she?
She was 7 and I was not. But so I didn't realize that I that far back wanted to do what I've done with my career.
Oh, cool.
I had no idea until I heard this tape and I was like, wow, I was 9 and saying, this is Scott Jagow doing the radio news. And I kept saying, I'm picking another person up off the street. You know, just weird things that I said, but I was doing like man on the street interviews, which were all with my sister.
Oh, God. See, I have a lot of tapes, but none go back to when I was 9, but I will not let Glenn have.
No, she doesn't let me have any of that. I did find early on, I think maybe 14 years ago, I did find a tract of her on the radio in Atlanta and I played it and she's never forgiven me since. So I never did it again. So
I actually blocked it out. I don't even know what you're talking about, but probably for the better.
Well, Scott, I'm so glad that you're settled in up there and that things are going well, that your girlfriend actually likes it there.
She's moving up here in a couple of months. She's still in St. Louis for her job. But in fact, she has the possibility of a job here at the National Museum of Horse Racing.
Oh, wow.
So I'm pretty excited about that prospect. She's done an interview and Things are moving forward on that. So she could have a position here when she moves up in a couple of months. And yeah, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I'll do. The podcast is a good idea.
Well, thank you for catching us up on where you're at and what you're doing. It's so good to talk to you again.
You too. I appreciate you reaching out to me. Good to hear your voices. Good to talk to you. It was a good conversation.
Well, it's so good to get caught up with Scott. I still am jealous of his voice. He just has the best radio voice. He really does. And he's so smooth. Spalding Fly Predators, I wanted to remind you, if you're thinking about getting Spalding Fly Predators for your farm, there's a coupon code HRN10, HRN, the number 10, and you get 10% off your first order. So definitely check that out today.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Time for this day in equine history, and this first story is so appropriate after having spoken to Scott. On this day in 1867, history was made at Jerome Park in New York. Do you know what it was, Jamie?
No.
It was the inaugural running of the Belmont Stakes.
At Jerome Park? Park?
Yeah, Jerome Park in New York. And of course, you know, the Belmont's the oldest of the Triple Crown races now. And it was won by a mare named Ruthless, who beat out a field of colts. It was this day in 1867 that started. So it's so funny that he mentioned that. On June 19th, 1878 was the foundational moment for both equine science and the invention of cinema. Photographer by the name of Muybridge successfully captured his famous Horse in Motion series at a track in Palo Alto, California. Using a string of 12 cameras triggered by threads, he proved for the very first time in history that a galloping horse completely lifts all four hooves off the ground simultaneously. So we've all seen that little, you know, that little very old movie. We've all seen it. And if you haven't seen it, just go look it up on Google. You'll find it. But it was this that proved that all four feet are off the ground at the same time.
Now, because your segments make me come up with more questions, because like, I'm like, Jerome Park, what is Jerome Park? Well, the people in New York that are listening to us right now are yelling at me because Jerome Park is a municipal park in the West Bronx of New York City. This park, along with surrounding neighborhood of the same name, are both on land that was once Jerome Park Racetrack, which was founded by Leonard W. Jerome, grandfather of who, Glenn?
I have no idea.
You'll never guess. Grandfather of Winston Churchill. Oh, now, this is Wikipedia, so this could all be wrong. But I'm just saying, like, interesting. I didn't know this stuff. There you go.
Well, here's one that you didn't know and I didn't know. And I went, really? And I double checked and it is true. On June the 19th, 1918, during World War I, Italy's top fighter ace, Francesca Baracca, was shot down. What does that have to do with horses, you ask?
Well, Baracca, I don't know.
Baracca was a renowned cavalryman before joining the Air Corps. Remember, it's 1918. The Air Corps was biplanes. So he joined the Air Corps and he flew with a prancing horse painted on his plane to honor his old cavalry regiment. Years later, his mother gave permission to who? Enzo Ferrari, to use the emblem for good luck, creating the most famous automotive horse logo in history. So the Ferrari logo is off of this guy's fighter plane from 1918. I didn't know that.
Now you know. Again, yeah. More questions than answers. That one was more answers than questions. Thank you very much.
He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It's that time of the week when we do some really bad ads, when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And, of course, our prize this month is a box of crap out of my closet. So it's coveted. Everybody wants one. I can't guarantee this one's going to be any good, but you're going to get it, and there's no returns. So if you do what you want with this stuff.
No returns. Like, he won't sign for it. It's not coming back.
That's why I'm sending it to you, so I don't have to have it anymore.
Can I just tell you real quick a story? Because I did something yesterday, or maybe it might have been yesterday or day before. I was like, you know, I love to go on Craigslist and look for really bad ads. It's so fun. And sometimes, anyway, this ad popped up for the guy that the broker that I got Amigo from. Okay, so an ad popped up for his website, and I was like, oh, let me see if what's on their website. All these Andalusians, you know. And by the way, Mexican dancing horses, very hot, very spicy, you know. But anyway, I click on it, and one of the horses that I tried, and one of the farm that spoke zero English, one of the horses was still on the website, and he was like, drastically reduced. He was already a gelding. He's an Azteca, so he was only half quarter horse, half thoroughbred, and his price was like drastically reduced. And not to be whatever, but I'm going to California next week, and I was like, I really liked riding him. Like, I was like, this, I remember riding him, I was like, he's not very pretty, but he is really fun to ride, like really fun. So I messaged the broker. And I was like, hey, can I get some more video? I came up. I'm going to be there next week. Maybe I can come take a look at him again. Will they, are they negotiable on the price? Because they've come down like his price is like in half. So I messaged him. He messaged me back. Yeah, we'll get all that tomorrow. No problem. No problem. I said, yeah, I'd like to, you know, anywho, long story short, I go down and I have to tell Chad yesterday. I was like, by the way, because I'm going to California, there was this horse that I really liked. And he remembered the one. And I was like, then it's like basically on sale. And if it's on sale, it's practically free. So I'm like, I'm going to get this free horse when I go out to California. And he's like, oh, well, I mean, I was like, babe, I can fix this horse. And like, he's so calm and trained, and he's already been a gelding forever. I'm like, I can find him a good place to go, and maybe I'll make a little money, which is hilarious because I don't make money. So he's like, okay, well, go for it. I'm like, God, I just married so well, or he's crazy like me. So I get a text last night at 1 o'clock in the morning from the broker, because remember, they're California time. He sold. Oh, I was like, no, I'm going to go horse shopping in Bakersfield again by myself.
Chad was so disappointed, like, please stop. To hear that. He was so disappointed, wasn't he?
I know. I was like, I lean in. I was like, babe, he sold. And Chad's like, oh, sorry. The sorry that doesn't really mean sorry. No. That's what I picked up. Okay. So anyway, there's my horse shopping story. I can't get really bad ads. I just can't do it because I'll end up with things. Go ahead.
Well, we weren't going to have time to get to them all today because we're going to help on today's show with all of the voicemails we missed. So Caitlin, Kelly, Sandra, Amy, Andrew, Katie, and Lori, sorry we're not going to get to yours today, but you're all in for the box of crap, whether you want it or not. And Laureen sent the first one. Here we go. Laureen's always good for a chuckle.
I'm just hanging out with him.
Good morning. It's Laureen Barden. Morning. And I'm going to read a really bad ad. Well, it's not a really bad ad, but it's a funny ad. And no, we're not in the truck today. We're already at the farm.
I just was going to pause her and say she's not in the truck today. She beat me to it.
We're here with Rocky and Bramble.
Hi, Rocky.
Hi, Rocky. Bramble.
Hi, Bramble. To this really funny ad. And this is a Facebook ad, and it's for a bison bull. 5-year-old vegetarian. Aren't all cows and bulls vegetarian? I don't think they eat meat. And works out regularly. How does a bison work out? What does a bison do to work out? I don't know. So this 5-year-old Bison Bull, is a vegetarian, works out regularly, loves rainbows and long, lazy summer days. Don't we all? But how do they know the bison likes or loves rainbows and long, lazy summer days?
Sounds like a dating app.
It's a dating app for Bison Bull. Okay, in search of new home, Shoemakers, Pennsylvania. Well, if you're looking, because Alicia thinks it sounds like a dating app, and you're looking for a partner in a Bison Bull that loves rainbows and long summer days, this ad is for you. Bye. Have a great weekend.
You know what I love about Lorene is we don't have to do any work. She does the commentary for us. She does the whole thing.
She's a complete package.
Yeah.
Just a complete package. Just hit play and sit back. I love it.
Tegan sent this one in. It's from the Mini Horse and Pony Networking page. Big Mac special. Big Mac's been a little... Big Mac's been a little... since he's been turned out with the big herd. He needs a family with kids, a small herd of 2 to 3 horses, and time. Last call on this pony, folks. He's sound. He's easy on the eyes. He's broke when he wants to be. 850 carats for quick, uncomplicated adoption. Please don't ask me a million questions. Scroll down to his ad or come check him out. What, that's a okay. Red flag. When they say don't ask a million questions means I'm not going to answer them anyway.
Your statement of red flags is so good because that is exactly what you see when you read ads. And then especially one like this, like let's count the red flags. Mac's been a little beep since he's been turned out with the big herd.
One.
Red flag. He needs a family with kids, a small herd of 2 to 3 horses and time.
Two.
That's red flag number two. Last call on this pony, folks. Three.
Why? What are they exactly going to do to him? If you,
I know. Last call. We're going to shoot him. Okay. He's sound. He's easy on the eyes, and he's broke when he wants to be.
Boop, four. Boop,
red flag. For a quick, uncomplicated adoption, that's a red flag because he's for sale. It's not an adoption. You're a farm. And then red flag number 47. Don't ask me a million questions. Take the damn pony.
Oh, and he's got that look. He has that pony look in the picture like he's going to kill you. Like, don't even dare to walk up to me.
Well, and the funny thing is the picture is from about 100 yards away because I think that's as close as they get to him, which is also red flag.
Yeah, he hasn't been brushed in a while from this picture. No.
It's been a minute. Okay, Michelle sent this one in. 17.1 draft cross for sale this week.
Oh. So just, if I see it next week, it's not for sale?
No, this week. Oh, she's really pretty and like the price is right. So let's read gorgeous. The ad. Just got her and I like her, but I don't really need her. 17.1 hands, 7 years old, gentle as a lamb. Supposed to work and ride. I'm confident she will. I'm offering her this week for this price. If I get to using her, I'm sure it'll be a lot higher next week. Take advantage of this summertime deal. What is with the high pressure sales today?
How many times
have
we said
this week, folks, only this price, but next week you're going to see each price is going up, 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 up. Oh my God.
You know, like you talk about red flags. This one just, there's certain indications that they're dealer too. And there's two of them glaring in here. I haven't ridden this horse, but if I do, its price is going to go up. That's a dealer right there. Yeah.
Here's another red flag. Here's another red flag. Glenn, can you tell me where this horse is located? No offense to this place. It just sounds like red flag. Where is it located?
Oh, you didn't read that, did you? Oil Trough, no. Arkansas. Oil Trough.
Oil Trough, Arkansas. Arkansas. Again, more questions than answered. Where is Oil Trough?
I think they must have spelled it wrong because I don't think there's an oil trough.
There is an oil trough.
Is there
it's
really?
A town in Independence County, Arkansas, or Arkansas, however you say it. Oil trough. According to this last census they did, oil trough. Do you want to guess the population?
39.
Well, you underguessed, because they have a whopping ginormous 220 residents.
Wow. And one draft horse.
And one giant draft horse. She's really pretty.
He's cute, though. He really is cute. They want $3,000 for that, but if you wait till next week, it'll be $4,000. Guaranteed. Megan sent this one in. I think this is an old one.
Good morning. This is Megan in North Carolina with a really bad ad found on Craigslist. Thoroughbred. Not sure what kind of horse that is, but Thoroughbred. Great horse, up to date on all shots, teeth floated, 19 years young, has a great temper. Not sure what a temper is, if it's great, and will be a great addition to the family, is a great jumper, and has a smooth seat. $3,000. No, is it a mare, gelding, Thoroughbred? Not sure. Have a great day.
Great temper is not really commentary. A selling point, is it, right?
Yeah, and I love all these commentaries. Like, they see the ridiculousness on their own. Like, we don't have to point it out. That's fantastic. Well, and by the way, she did that in an accent that was not her own. Oh, so yeah, remember, if you send in a voicemail, you get double the entries for the prize. If you do it in a accent that is not yours, an accent that's not yours, you get triple the entry, so don't forget. Way
I'm
to
sure
go.
She's
okay.
Very excited about the prospect of winning my box of crap.
I mean,
a question the other day from someone who said, you're always giving away your boxes of crap of your leftovers in your closet. Why isn't there a Jamie box of crap?
Because I don't get free crap like Glenn does.
She doesn't
I'll see
up
what
crap
I can
so
come up with.
Either.
Let's see. I mean, yeah, I like my crap. I'm hoarding my crap. All right. Let's see. Alyssa sent this one in. Wait. Yeah. Okay. And this is horses for, this is a Facebook page, horses for lease and for sale and tack in Massachusetts, Maine, Connecticut, New Hampshire. They're all abbreviations. It's early, people. I need more coffee. Okay. Here's the ad. Hey, everyone, I just got a horse recently, and if he doesn't get along with my other horse, I will be rehoming him. If anyone is interested, let me know.
She's selling the horse even before she got it.
What?
She didn't even have the horse in her field yet. She's put an ad up.
I got a horse recently, and if it don't get along with my other horse, then I'm going to get rid of him. So and you want him? Well, what is he? Where is he?
Oh my God, she's got it for sale.
Or she
didn't even bring it home yet. That's funny.
Are you flipping? And by the way, her username is Lavender Caterpillar. So, I mean, obviously you want to do business with somebody with that name.
It does sound like a name of a flower store in a little town, right?
Lavender Caterpillar. Like a little coffee shop that sells flowers.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. You can just picture it, can't you? The lavender, you know?
Hi, I'm going to high tea at the Lavender Caterpillar.
It sounds like it, though. Rachel sent this one in, she said, if you need to ask AI which is easier or harder to take care of. And I did. So here's the ad. North Alabama horses. Anyone want to trade a horse for a ski boat? Nothing gated. It's the entire ad. And there's a picture of a ski boat. And so I asked Gemini, I said, I said, which is easier to take care of, a horse or a boat? And here's the answer. The short answer, a horse is exponentially harder to take care of. While both are legendary black holes for your bank account, they require entirely different levels of human sanity. This is what AI said. The massive divide comes down to one simple fact. A boat is an object and a horse is a living, breathing dependent. Here's how they stack up in the battle of high maintenance hobbies. Time commitment. The boat. If you get busy, stressed, or want to go on a vacation for 3 weeks, you just tie the boat to the dock, walk away, and ignore it. It doesn't get lonely, and it won't starve. The horse. A horse is a toddler that weighs 1,200 pounds. They require daily feeding, stall cleaning, and turnout. Even if you pay a boarding stable to handle the daily chores, you still have to visit regularly to exercise him and check for injuries.
You
can't just turn off the horse for the winter. Now, maintenance and breakage. The boat. When a boat breaks, it's usually mechanical or structural. It can be incredibly expensive to fix, but the parts are replaceable. The horse. Horses are actively trying to injure themselves 24/7. They will find the one loose nail in a 10-acre pasture. They suffer from colic, a life-threatening stomach ache, abscesses, and mysterious lamenesses. Furthermore, you can't just tell the mechanic at 2 a.m. You just can't call the mechanic at 2 a.m. You're calling an equine vet for an emergency farm call. The verdict? A boat will break your bank. But the horse will break your bank, your sleep schedule, and occasionally your ribs.
Okay.
I love this. This was perfect. It's like I had written it. AI did wonderful at making it funny.
I was going to say, like, it literally sounds like you wrote this. So obviously you have a relationship with your AI.
Oh,
what's your AI's name?
Very well. It knows I'm a horse husband. I talk to Gemini on a regular basis.
Gemini. Okay. Yes. So Gemini obviously knows all about you and what you're going to want to hear. I bet if I asked Gemini, they would not have the same answers.
I love this. It's perfect. It's perfect.
It'd be like, the boat will kill you because you will drown. And then a horse will be your best friend and your emotional support friend. So obviously,
yeah, mine didn't say anything.
Keep
that.
The horse. No, it's so different. All right, play more sounds.
I just love that effect that it actually added humor and I didn't ask it to. It's
like, what did you ask them?
I have it right here.
Because I'm going to ask and see what it says.
Okay, I just asked, I'm bringing it up. I just asked, which is harder to take care of, a boat or a horse? That's all I asked. Which is harder to take care of, a boat or a horse? That's what I asked.
Okay, replay the next one, and I'll get this together.
Debbie is up next, and again, this was sent a long time ago. Apologize, Debbie.
Hey, guys. This is Debbie from Southwest Kansas. I have an ad for Friday. Tugboat is a mid-teens Belgian mare standing 15'3 and built like she was assembled out of leftover bulldozer parts. She's an absolute tank, not a little stout, not big-bodied, tank. The kind you park in a pasture and other horses start making payments. She's bigger than a brick outhouse and somehow denser. Broke to ride, broke to drive. So if your truck taps out in the snow, you can just hook her to the hitch and hope your insurance agent has a sense of humor. She's an absolute trail machine deluxe. She has seen it, judged it, and continued. Safe for all level riders. Her vibe is union worker with seniority. She shows up, does the job, does not clock in early, and absolutely does not overexert herself for free. Point her at a trail and she goes. Point her at a cart and she goes. Point her at your ex's house and she will go there too, but that's between you and your lawyer. Maintenance level is criminally low. She is not a supplement princess. She's a blue-collar employee with hooves. She's the type you can forget to brush for 3 days and she still marches out like, I've been self-managing, actually. Turn her out. Feed her like a normal horse. She clocks in for work looking exactly the same every day. No 47-step grooming routine. No laminated diet chart. No emotional support saddle pad. If you want something that lives on air, vibes, and 12 powders in her grain, this is not your girl. If you want a horse that survives on hay, common sense, and pure union energy, Tugboat has entered the chat. Mid-fours, St. Francis, Minnesota. This ad showed up randomly on my feed. I couldn't possibly be because I look at horse ads. No, that couldn't be the reason.
I want Tugboat. What a great sounding draft horse.
I just want a horse named Tugboat. That's fantastic.
That's good. Thank you, Debbie. Okay. Sorry it was so late.
And she probably did that 6 months ago. Doesn't even remember it. Doesn't even listen to us anymore. So I ask my Gemini which is harder to take care of, a boat or a horse. Would you like to know what the real answer is?
Yeah. The reason mine totally, I'm sure.
It depends on your lifestyle. Horses require constant time-consuming daily labor, while boats require specialized, expensive, technical maintenance. Both are significant commitments of time and money, and many owners consider them comparable in terms of long-term expenses.
That was it? Please.
Your Gemini, like, no, it goes on forever. Taking care of a horse, time commitment, health and routine care, emergency medical costs, location, caring for a boat, time commitment, maintenance,
you know,
parts, emergencies, mechanical costs, storage.
Yours heard you bitching about Chad's boat all those years. And
yep. Yeah. I'm telling you, AI is so subjective. It's not even funny. Like, it literally tells you what you want to hear. I'm calling BS. Take it down. Get rid of AI.
I'm just going with mine. Honest.
I'm just shocked that, like, we can both type in the same sentence in the same day and how dramatically different the answers are. Because this one concentrates on horses being a lot of hard, but boats are like way worse. If you find diagnosing and repairing complex mechanical electrical systems daunting, or if you prefer to rely on professionals for all your maintenance, a boat is harder. I would
taking care of the horses and like figuring out why the horse's lame isn't hard, you know, or what's wrong with their electrical system.
I'm just saying, like, I can't believe that it's so dramatically different for the person asking. So, okay, well, we just proved AI is garbage.
Speaking of Chad, I hate to inform you, but I was actually listening to the radio the other day, and Chad being a Karen is a thing, because they used the Chad being a Karen thing twice during the show I listened to.
Well, that's your show, but I've heard Kevin. I hear Kevin all the time.
You want to hear Kevin. I'm hearing Chad. Sorry. Poor Chad.
It's okay. Everybody stay away. Chads are the worst, except for, you know, he's mine.
All right. Well, one last one, and this was by Rebecca from Australia.
Hi, Jamie and Glenn. It's Rebecca here from Australia. And I have a non-punctuation ad from Facebook. This is from the Australian Stock Horses for Sale page.
Yes.
Before Rebecca goes on, please do not do your terrible Australian accent after she's done and embarrass us, okay?
Oi!
No.
Wouldn't do that!
No, don't.
Here we go. 7-year-old stock horse mare, 14-1 HHS, was broken in, then just turned out and never bought back into work. However, I know she shouldn't buck, as a mate jumped on her 2 weeks ago with just a bride, no saddle. She just turned really quick and he slid off is hard to catch, as has been out in a massive paddock. She's a stunning looking man, amazing for breeding or put in the time under her belt to make her one amazing riding horse. I'm not selling her, so don't ask. I'm looking to swap for something bigger. Okay. No thoroughbreds, all standbred breds. Must be over 15 to HHS. Maruya, New South Wales. That's it. Thanks, guys.
We know this horse isn't going to bike yet. I put a rider on her and she just fell off, you know, just slipped off.
Just slipped off. Like, I don't know what happened.
By the way, I just want to listen to that again for her accent. It's wonderful.
And I would like to also point out that even in Australia, they want to trade really well-trained horses for
crap.
You know, if you have one that's like super trained, I would be more than happy to give you this one that has no training.
But
we'll
not
just even swap.
Not a thoroughbred or one of those standard breds. Not one of those either.
Standard bred breads. I can't remember what she said. It was just, I was listening to the magic of her accent.
I know,
accent.
Me too. Rebecca, if you just want to send us voicemails about whatever, that's fine. We can get them now. So,
you know what, Rebecca, if you're still here, you probably don't listen anymore because Glenn wouldn't play your ads. if you could just like walk around and just describe what's going on outside in Australia. Like, I want to know. I want a day in the life of an Australian listener. Like, give it to me.
Yeah, daily reports from Australia would be great. We have never had
Oh my God, before. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be great.
Glenn will pay you to do it. Yeah. He'll mail you checks.
I'll send you a check. I'm sure it'll get there in about 2 years by slow post from America.
It'll be fine.
All right, that's it. No post show today. We got stuff we have to do on this Friday. But thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you, auditors, for being auditors. We appreciate that also. Have a terrific weekend, everybody, and be safe.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld.